أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاخت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. As we discussed earlier, that inshallah in the nights of Ramadan I will talk about a little bit over the tafsir of Huruf al-Muqatta'at in the Holy Quran. And so we would like to discuss that and also in this discussion there are 20 different viewpoints among the Mufassirin in the history, and although Ayatollah Shaheed Mustafa Al-Khumayni Rahmatullah Alayh, the son of Imam Al-Khumayni Ridwanullah Alayh, who used to live in Najaf Al-Ashraf, and he was killed, he was writing the Tafsir of Quran in the name of Tafsir al-Quran al-Kareem. And in his Tafsir, he has mentioned 26 aqwal and statements. But the most famous ones are the 20, and we will discuss the 20 aqwal about the Hurufun Muqatta'at. As you know that in the beginning of 29 surahs of Holy Quran, there are some alphabets mentioned. And these alphabets are called Huruf al-Muqatta'at. They're just letters of Arabic language. And the various Mufassirin have discussed various viewpoints on that. The first of the khususiyat, before I come to the aqwal and various viewpoints of the Mufassireen, there are some specifications and khasa'is, special things related to the huruf al-muqatta'at that we need to keep in our mind before entering into the discussion. The first point is that huruf al-muqatta'at are never found in any other book of God before the Holy Quran. So this is not something similar to any other book. There is no harf like that or huruf like that in any previous book, Injil or Tawrat or any other. So this is something which is mukhtas and specific to our Holy Quran. Second of all, it's important to keep in mind that huruf al-muqatta'at, which are 29 in total, 27. That means in the beginning of 29 surahs of Quran, we find these huruf are mentioned. So among these 29 surahs of Quran, there are 27 surahs which are revealed in Makkah, and only two of the surahs are in Medina which have the hurufun muqatta'at. The third thing to remember about that is that the third thing is well, let me just list the surahs in front of you very quickly. Surah Al-Baqarah, which has Alif Lam Mim in front of that, and then Al Imran, Surah Al-A'raf, and Yunus, and Hud, and Yusuf, and Ra'ad, and Hijr, and Ibrahim, and Hijr, and Maryam, and Taha, and Shu'ara, and Naml, and Qasas, and Ankabut, and Rum, and Luqman, and Surah Al-Sajda, Yasin, Saad, Mu'min, which is also called Surah Al-Ghafir, and Fussilat, and Surah Al-Shura, and Zukhruf, and Dukhan, and Jasiya, and Ahqaf, and Qaf, wal Qalam. So these are precisely the 29 surahs which I mentioned in the tertib. Huruf al-Muqatta'at are divided into five types. Some are one letter ones, some are two letter ones, some are three, some are four, and some are five. The one letter ones are only Saad and Noon and Qaf, which are just one letter, and the two letter ones are basically Ta-Seen and Yasin and Taha and Hamim, and the three letter ones are Alif Lam Mim. As you know, the way according to our Ilm al-Tajweed, the way we pronounce the Huruf al-Muqatta'at is through the pronunciation of the alphabet. So like when you write Alif, the description of this pronunciation is Alif and Hamza and Lam and Alif. That's how you describe Alif. So when you're reading the Huruf al-Muqatta'at, you don't say it, in the sound of Alif, which is Ah. That's not how we read. We read it in the sound of its pronunciation. Description of the pronunciation. Description of the pronunciation and talaffuz of Alif is written like Hamza and Alif and Fa. So we say it Alif. That's how you would read it. You won't say Ah, because that's not how we read. Likewise, Lam is the description of the pronunciation is Lam and Alif and Meem. This is how you describe when you're telling somebody about the letter Lam. So you don't say it La or Lu or Le. You say it Lam and Alif and Meem. So this is about the law of the Tajweed, how we recite it. So basically, the three letter ones are these: Ta-Seen, Yasin, Taha, Hameem, and these are the ones which have three letters. Obviously, the rule says that when we are reading the Huruf al-Muqatta'at, when you are describing its pronunciation, just like I mentioned, Alif, we describe it like Alif and Lam and Fa. Lam, we describe it like Lam, Alif and Meem. This is how we describe the pronunciation and talaffuz. So when you are describing in the description, if it is a three letter word, you read it with a mad. If it is a two letter word or less, you do not read it with a mad. That's the law of Tajweed again. So for example, when you are describing Alif Lam Mim, so now Lam, for example, is a three letter word. When you are describing the talaffuz, you would say Lam and Alif and Mim. It's a three letter word. Because it's a three letter word in the description, there is a mad on top of the Lam. And likewise the Mim. So Mim, when you describe the talaffuz, it is Mim, Ya, Mim. You say Mim, Mim and Ya and Mim. That's the description. So the description is a three-letter word, so that's why you put a mad over the meme as well. If you open up the Quran, you will see the alif does not have it, that's mustathna. And likewise, alifun mamduda is mustathna. There, you know, alif is mustasna, but the rest of the alphabets, if the description is a three-letter word, you put a mad on it. If the description of the talaffuz and pronunciation is not a three-letter word, it's less, then you don't put a mad. So that's why we say alif without stretching the voice, and then we say lam with the mad, and then meem with a mad, which is has to be equal to minimum two alif when we stretch it. So this is a little bit about the how we read it. Now these are the three letter ones that I mentioned to you. Now we have the four letter huruf al-muqatta'at also, which are alif, lam, and meem, and saad, which have four letters. Likewise, alif, lam, meem, and ra, which also has four alphabets in it. So that's the fourth category of huruf al-muqatta'at. Then the fifth one is the one which have five letters, and those are only two in the Quran. One is kaf, ha, ya, ayn, saad, and the second one is ha, meem, ayn, seen, qaf. So these all have mad, except the ha, which has alifun mamduda at the end, like I just mentioned the law of tajweed, how to read it. So these two are, you know, the only ones which have five letters. So this is how we, this is one of the ways how we divide the huruf and muqatta'at: one letter, two letter, three letter, four letter, and five letter. We don't have a six letter ones. And the next, the taqseem of the huruf of muqatta'at is in terms of whether it's part of the ayat of Quran or it itself is the ayat of Quran. That's another taqseem of huruf and muqatta'at, which is another important point to keep in mind. Some of the huruf and muqatta'at are themselves an ayat. That means the harfun muqatta is the ayat of Quran. Itself it is counted to be one ayat, those huruf, whereas some other are not. So first taqseem would be those of the huruf al-muqatta'at which are counted to be one ayat in itself. So when you start in the hisab of ayat, you will count it as one ayat. And whereas some of the huruf al-muqatta'at are considered to be not the ayat in itself, but it is juz'ul ayah and part of the ayat. That's another, that's a second type of the taqseem and division. And the third one is that when one huruf and muqatta'at are considered to be two ayats of Quran, not one by it on its own. Now let's go to the examples. So we have, for the example of the huruf al-muqatta'at which are one ayat, is like alif lam mim. This itself is one ayat of Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, and all the rest of the surahs where you find alif lam mim there, it's part, if it's one ayat of Quran in it, on its own, it has to be counted as one separate ayat. And that is obviously found in Surah Al-Baqarah, Ali Imran, Ankabut, and Surah Al-Rum, this is fourth, and Surah Luqman, fifth, and Surah Sajda, it is sixth. So we have six surahs of Quran which start with Alif, Lam, and Meem. And in all these six surahs of Quran, this Alif, Lam, and Meem is considered to be one ayat separately. The next category of the division was that the haruf and muqatta'at are considered to be juz'ul ayat, that is part of the ayat, not one ayat on its own. So that is in the case of alif, lam, meem, saad. This is found in Surah Araf, which is considered to be just part of one ayat of the Quran. And So this is the example of that. And likewise, kaf, ha, ya, ayn, saad. This is there in Surah Maryam. And taha, which is there in the Surah Taha. And taasin, meem, which is part of, basically Surah Al-Shu'ara. And Surah Al-Qasas. And Surah, so these two surahs have the ta, seen, meem in their beginning. So we call them tawaseen when you combine it. And it's in the tafsir, it is mentioned as tawaseen. And likewise, yaseen, which is in the beginning of Surah Yaseen. And hameem, which is actually in the beginning of seven surahs of the Holy Quran, which include Surah Al-Mu'min, also called Al-Ghafir, and Fussilat, and Zukhruf, and Dukhan, and Jasiyah, and Ahqaf. So we call them Hawameem As-Sab'a. When you combine them together, that's how we call them Hawameem As-Sab'a in the tafsir. So all these are juz'ul ayah. That means it's not one complete ayah on its own, but it is part of one ayah. So this is the second division of huruf al-muqatta'at. The third division of huruf al-muqatta'at is where we consider the huruf al-muqatta'at to be two ayats of Quran, and that is only in one case, which is ha, meem, and ayn, seen, qaf. So this is considered to be two ayat of Quran. So you, when you start counting the ayat of the surah, you will count after Bismillah Rahman Rahim, which we, in our Isna Ashari religion, we consider Bismillah to be part of every surah. Isn't it right? We already discussed the tafsir of Bismillah a while ago, I think, in one of the month of Ramadan, and I told you that Bismillah Rahman Rahim, our Mufassireen say, has a different meaning. For every surah of Quran, the meaning of Bismillah Rahman Rahim is different. It is directly related. It's related to the contents of that specific surah. And when we read the Bismillah Rahman Rahim in the Salat, we have to make the niyat that I am reading the Bismillah, the Bismillah Rahman Rahim, for this specific surah. If you just say Bismillah Rahman Rahim out of your adat, and then you start thinking, okay, which surah shall I read? Now you have to repeat the Bismillah Rahman Rahim, because you did not intend, when you were saying Bismillah Rahman Rahim, you did not intend that you are reading the Bismillah of this specific surah. So Bismillah is related to that surah. It is part of that surah. You cannot consider this Bismillah Rahman Rahim to be similar to the other Bismillah Rahman Rahim, because the meaning of every Bismillah Rahman Rahim is different. So we find there, so we will count it like this. Bismillah Rahman Rahim is the first ayat of the surah. Then you will say Ha Meem. This is one ayat. And then Ayn, Seen, Qaf. This is the second ayat of Quran. So this is the only huruf part of the huruf and muqatta'at which are considered to be two ayats of Quran separately, and that is found in Surah Ash-Shura. So, now, please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So, up till now we discussed that. Let me repeat this point, this last point once again, so that it is, if there is a confusion or mistake, I correct it and I say it to you. Alif Lam Mim, and Alif Lam Mim Saad, and likewise Taha, and likewise Ta Seen Mim, and Yaseen, and Kaf, Ha, Ya, Ayn, Saad. These are all considered to be, one ayat on its own. These are all of them are one ayat of Quran on their own. and then ha, meen, ayn, seen, qaf are considered to be two ayats of Quran. And now let's go to the third category. As we are counting the ayat in terms of huruf al-muqatta'at, the third category is that where you consider the huruf al-muqatta'at to be juz'ul ayat. It's not one complete ayat, and it's not two ayats, it's part of the long ayah. So it's considered to be juz of that ayat in the case of Alif Lam Ra, and which is there in Surah Yunus and Hud and Yusuf and Ibrahim and Surah Al-Hijr, and likewise Alif Lam Mim Ra, which is there in Surah Ar-Ra'd, and likewise Ta-Sin, which is found in Surah An-Naml, and Saad, which is in the beginning of Surah As-Saad, and Qaf, which is in the beginning of Surah Qaf, and Noon, which is in the beginning of Surah Al-Qalam, and Yasin, which is in the beginning of Surah Yasin. In all these surahs of Quran, huruf al-muqatta'at are juz'ul ayah. So Yasin is the juz of the ayat, and likewise all these are the juz of that ayat. First, the beginning ayat after Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Now, the next thing, which are khasa'is and specifications of huruf al-muqatta'at, as we are discussing that, is that some of the huruf are repeated over and over again among the huruf al-muqatta'at, whereas some others are never repeated. The never repeated ones are only two, which is Noon and Qaf. So Noon and Qaf are never repeated in the 29 surahs where we have huruf al-muqatta'at. Whereas we find that Saad is repeated. Obviously it is there in Surah As-Saad, in addition to Surah As-Saad, which it is mentioned separately on alone. Saad is also mentioned in Surah Araf in the form of Alif Lam Mim Saad, and there's a big connection which we will learn very soon inshallah. What is the connection? Why are we mentioning that? This point that Saad is mentioned separately in one surah and Saad is mentioned is as part of the huruf al-muqatta'at of another surah, what is the connection between that? We will come to that point, to the connection very soon inshallah. But for now, let's keep in mind that Saad is mentioned in the beginning of Surah Saad. Also, it is mentioned in Surah Al-Araf, which is Alif Lam Mim Saad. Likewise, we find some are repeated six times, like Alif Lam Mim. That's repeated six times, so it's in six different surahs you find this has been repeated. Likewise, Ha Mim, we call it Hawamim As-Sab'ah, the seven Hawamim. So it's repeated seven times in seven different surahs. So this is about the repetition of the huruf al-muqatta'at. The total of the huruf al-muqatta'at, which are 29, but if you leave all the repeated alphabets, it remains as 14. 14 are the non-repetitive alphabets, ghair-e-takrari, those which are not repeated. So if the total is 29 and non-repeated alphabets are 14. And it's also worth noticing that in every surah, other than Surah Maryam and Ankabut and Rome and Qalam, and all the rest of the 25 surahs of Quran, keeping the four aside, Maryam, Rome, Ankabut and Qalam, these four surahs aside, the rest of the 25 surahs, total are 29 surahs where we have huruf al-muqatta'at. In the rest of the 25 surahs of Quran, as soon as the huruf al-muqatta'at are mentioned, the broken alphabets are mentioned, we find there is a mention of kitab, book, or Quran. Soon after, there's a mention of these one of these two things, Kitab or Quran, after the Huruf al-Muqatta'at. And also, our Mufassirin say that in the either in the beginning of the Surah, Kitab or Quran is mentioned, or in the Matan, in the text of the Surah, you find there's a mention of either the Wahi, revelation of God, or the Azamat of Quran, the greatness of Quran is mentioned. Even my teacher, Ayatullah Jawadi Amuli Hafadahullah, was saying in the tafsir that even the rest of the four surahs which we kept aside, Surah Rum and Maryam and Ankabut and Qalam, even in those four surahs you find that there is a mention of Wahi, the revelation, and Risalat, the messengership, and Quran in those surahs as well. And the Surah Qalam also says, Ma anta bi ni'mati rabbika bi majnoon. So in Surah Maryam, there is a mention of several prophets of God. Several of the prophets, including like Hazrat Yahya and Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, has been mentioned in Surah Maryam. So the mihwar, the pivotal role, as we are discussing the specific attributes of Huruf al-Muqatta'at from the perspective of Mufassireen, the pivotal role as the mihwar of the matalib of the Surah Maryam also is Nubuwat, Nubuwatul Amma. That means the general concept of prophethood, and Nubuwatun Khassa, the specific prophethood of certain prophets of God. The summary of likewise Surah Ankabut and Rum is also Wahi and Nubuwat and I'jaz. That means revelation and the prophethood and miracle. So this, so we learn up till from this point that all the 29 surahs where we there are huruf al-muqatta'at of the Holy Quran, including the Hawamim as-Sab'a and Tawaseen in the beginning or in the text of the surah, there is a mention of either the Wahi, revelation of God, or and Nubuwat and Kitab, prophethood and the book. And the common matalib, the common contents of all these surahs is definitely, our scholars say, is definitely the, my teacher says, there's definitely about the Nubuwat and Risalat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the common thing we find in the matalib. The Huruf al-Muqatta'at, the ninth of the khasa'is which we are discussing, the ninth specific attribute of Huruf al-Muqatta'at is that the contents of every surah is directly related to the Harf al-Muqatta' or Huruf al-Muqatta'at which is mentioned in the beginning of that surah. That's a very interesting point actually. It's really interesting. So we find that all those surahs of Quran which are starting with some Huruf al-Muqatta'at which are similar to each other. For example, Alif Lam Mim, which is repeated in 6 of those 29 surahs, for example. So the contents of those of the 6 surahs of Quran among 114 surahs, those 6 surahs which have Alif Lam Mim in their beginning, the contents of all those 6 surahs are similar to each other. Obviously, when we look from the perspective of a muhakkik and mudakkik and mufassir, who is precisely and deeply doing the research in the contents of the ayat and what type of issues are mentioned in this surah and what sort of issues are mentioned in that surah, and then you compare, do a comparison between the matalib and contents of those surahs, our scholars have discovered that the contents of all the surahs which have common hurufun muqatta'at, their contents are also similar to each other. So now we have seven surahs which have hawameem, ha-meem in the beginning. So the contents of all those seven surahs are similar to each other. And in the case of hawameem, it's about the wahi and risalat and azamat of Quran al-Kareem. Based on the same point, it is worth noting that if one of the surahs of Holy Quran has huruf al-muqatta'at, for example, Surah al-Baqarah has alif, lam, mim in the beginning. Now, we find that in Surah al-A'raf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says alif, lam, mim, saad. So now our scholars say that the contents and matalib of Surah al-A'raf has to include the contents of Surah al-Baqarah as well. Because Surah al-Baqarah did not have alif, lam, mim, saad. Surah al-Baqarah only had alif, lam, mim. But Surah al-A'raf in the beginning says alif, lam, mim, saad. So it means, our mufassirin say that it means that Surah al-A'raf encompasses the contents of Surah al-Baqarah as well. As well as Surah al-Saad, because in the end it says Saad. So all the contents which are found in Surah al-Saad and contents which are found in Surah al-Baqarah, both of them are combined in Surah al-A'raf. Now, this is a very interesting discussion from the tafsir perspective that gives a totally different perspective to those who are researching, because they will search to find out what are the things which are similar in these two surahs. This is about the ma'arif and the high level and deep teachings of the Quran. So similarly, we find that Surah Ar-Ra'd says in the beginning alif, lam, mim, ra. So we don't stretch the ra, because at the end of the ra, the description of the talaffuz and pronunciation has alif and mamduda, alif and a hamza after it, which is called alif and mamduda. And I told you in the beginning of my speech that the law of tajweed says you don't have to stretch your voice. There will be no mad written on the letter ra. Only on the letter lam and meem you will find the mad. So you will say alif without the mad, without stretching your voice, and then you will say lam with the mad on it, and meem with the mad on it, which equals to the stretch of two alifs. The stretch of the voice has to be equal to two alifs. The duration that you take to pronounce one alif, it has to be doubled in the stretch of the voice. So there is a mad on the lam, and there is a mad on the meem, but there is no mad on the ra. So you say alif, lam, meem, ra. So the contents of alif, lam, meem, and ra, which is there in Surah Ar-Ra'd, includes the contents of Surah Al-Baqarah, because it has alif, lam, meem in the beginning, but it has something more other than Surah Al-Baqarah, because it has a ra at the end. So but not only that, but also another thing to keep in mind is that Surah Ar-Ra'd, which has alif, lam, meem, ra in the beginning, will include the contents of all those six surahs of Quran which has alif, lam, meem in the beginning, plus it will also include the surah which has alif, lam, and ra in the beginning. Because Surah Ar-Ra'd combines the alif and lam and meem and ra together. So it will engulf the matalib and the ma'arif of all those surahs inside it. So this shows if the person has the knowledge of that surah of Quran, how much information he has in his soul. You know, just like remember when I was discussing the tafsir of surah a little bit about the not tafsir but actually the fadilat of surah al-Baqarah. I did mention to you the story when the Prophet was about to assign the commander of his army, one of his armies. And he was asking all those ashab who were standing, who were there present, Prophet was asking, according to that narration and naql in the tafsir, Prophet was asking, مَاذَا مَعَكَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ, how much of Qur'an is with you? How much knowledge of which surahs of Qur'an are you carrying in your soul? And everybody was replying to the Prophet, well, I know this surah of Qur'an. I know this surah of Qur'an. I know this surah of Qur'an. Whatever a person knew was telling the Prophet. So that was, see, look at the wisdom and hikmat of Rasulullah. When he wants to appoint somebody as the commander of his army, what is the mizan and criteria in Prophet's eyes to make somebody a commander? So then one of the young men present in the gathering, who was probably one of the youngest of all in the gathering, he said to the Prophet that, I know this surah of Quran, you know, kada wa kada. And also, I have the knowledge of Surah Al-Baqarah. So, none of the previous people mentioned Surah Al-Baqarah to the Prophet. So, he was the only young boy who said to the Prophet, I know this surah, and Surah Al-Baqarah. So, when Prophet heard that, he said, Ukhruju hada alaykum amir. That means, go out, this guy is your commander. So Prophet assigned the commander of his army based on the knowledge of those surahs, including the Surah Al-Baqarah. This is a very important thing. So when we are discussing that Surah Al-Ra'ad has Alif, Lam, Mim and Ra in the beginning, it engulfs the ma'arif of Surah Al-Baqarah, plus it is engulfing the ma'arif of so all the surahs of Quran, all the rest of the five surahs of Quran which has Alif, Lam, Mim in the beginning, and also the surah of Quran which has Alif, Lam and Ra in the beginning, because it says Alif, Lam, Mim, Ra. The tenth and the last of the khususiyat, probably in the next session, next lesson, we will start the tafsir and the aqwal which I mentioned related to the tafsir of these surah. We have 20 aqwal of various mufassireen combined together, which we will mention inshallah in the next lesson tomorrow. So the tenth and the last of the khasa'is, the specifications of the huruful muqatta'at, is that some of the scholars on our side, when they are dealing with huruf al-muqatta'at, what they did is that they have taken out the repetitive letters which are repeated, and with takrar, they took them out, and like I said, it's total 29 alphabets, and then take the repeated ones out, it remains to be 14 only, and they combine that sentence to be, as you may have heard, that siratu aliyin haqqun numsikuhu. And some have said Aliyun Haqq Numsiko Siratahu. That means the path of Ali is Haqq and we grab on to it. Or Ali is Haqq and we grab to his path. So this is how two different sentences have been made by some scholar. That's not there in the hadith. So let's be very clear, these sentences are not there in hadith. So the benefit to learn what is there in the hadith or Quran and what is not in the hadith and Quran is as follows. Our scholars say, when you find something mentioned by the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam or by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no power can nullify it, no power can challenge it, no power can prove that to turn out to be wrong. That's impossible to turn out to be wrong or faulty. So this sentence is a sentence of haqq, It says the right thing. Obviously, Imam Ali Rasulatu Salam, his walayat is the haq. He himself is haq. Aliyun ma'al haq. He is with the haq and he is also haq himself. So, Aliyun ma'al haq wal haqqu ma'aliyin. Isn't it right? Yaduru ma'ahu haythu dar. Allahumma adirul haqqa ma'ahu haythu dar. In another, in a hadith of the Prophet, he says, O my Lord, take the haq where Ali goes. So, obviously, Imam Ali Salam is haq. He is with the haq. His path is haq. And Sirat itself is nothing but the walayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Sirat al-Mustaqim, Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. So he himself is the Sirat al-Mustaqim. When we are praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, guide us the straight path. Well, Allah has already guided us the straight path. Straight path is the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam, which is the walayat of Rasulullah, which is the walayat of Allah, and it stands for the supremacy of Allah and Kalimatullah, supremacy of La ilaha illallah, isn't it right? So we accept and obey and follow the commands of Imam Ali alayhi salam and accept him as our ruler, and do not accept any ruler, we do not accept anyone other than the 12 Imams to be our Imams and Mawla and Wali and Awliya and Khulafa appointed from Allah. So they're accepting their walayat and obeying their walayat and sticking to their policies of their life and their path is the Sirat al-Mustaqim. That's what Sirat al-Mustaqim is about, which is a very fine line that we are walking in this life, and we will walk in the same way on the Day of Judgment on the bridge of Sirat. So Imam Ali Salam is the Sirat al-Mustaqim. It's not a Sirat al-Mustaqim, how my teacher was saying in Tafsir, it's not yet Rah Zamini ya Asmanini. Sirat al-Mustaqim as Duruna Insan Migzarat. Sirat al-Mustaqim is not a path which is related to this world or this heaven. It's a path that goes through your inner self. So from our inner self, we have to believe and accept the walayat and the rule that they are our governors. They rule over us. No one else has the right to rule and govern over me and my existence. If you believe in that way and you give preference to your jaan, maal and abru, your irv, your maal and your nafs, that means your life and your wealth and your dignity. You give preference to the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam and the walayat of Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam over your life, over your wealth, over your dignity. That's the meaning of believing in it. So, and if we believe in that, and obviously we will obey. When we live in America, we follow the law of the land. Isn't it right? So when we believe in the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam, we'll follow his commands. Yeah, obedience and belief, amal and aqidah, are inseparable in Islam. So you do what you believe, and whatever you didn't do will prove and reveal that you actually did not believe in it. You claimed as a lip service. If I make a claim as a lip service but I fail to obey Imam Ali alayhi salam, that will show that all the rest of the things that I did not follow from Imam Ali, from that portion of my claim was a lip service claim, because I failed to prove it through my actions. Because belief and actions are inseparable. A person performs exactly what he believes, and it does as much as he believes, and whatever he did not do actually is precisely because he did not believe in it. If he believed, his belief would have forced him to do accordingly. So belief and obedience to the walayat of the 12 Imams is the straight path. So this is something which is, there's no controversy over that. Siratu Aliyin Haqqun Numsikuhu, path of Ali is Haqq and we grab on to it. It's a matter of consensus. We as Mu'mins and Muslims believe in this Haqiqat. It's a reality. That's how we need to believe. The only point to remember about this sentence, which I will say again, that's not there in the Hadith. So when anything is not in the Ayat of Quran and not part of the Hadith, there will always be people who will challenge it. Isn't it right? So we find Alusi, Muhaddith Al-Alusi, which is a famous Muhaddith of the Sunni brothers. Well, he has mentioned in his book, that از ذرائف این است که شیعیان برای اثبات خلافت حضرت علی علیه السلام از حروف مقطعه پس از حرف مکررات آنها جمله صراط علی حق نمسکه را ساختند و اهل سنت نیز می توانند برای تایید راه خودشان همین حروف را جملاتی مانند صح طریقک مع السنه بسازند. So he has mentioned in his book of Tafsir that the Shias have made that sentence and the Sunnis have made this sentence. So basically, when it's not there in the Hadith, obviously anybody can come forward and make a sentence according to his Aqidah and viewpoint. So which he says in his Tafsir, Saha tariquka ma'a sunnah, that means your path with the sunnat is correct. So their scholars combined those 14 huruf to make their own sentence. So we need to go back to in these kinds of situations, we need to go back to the criteria and mizan of judging what is haq and what is batil, which is nothing but two things. First is the wahi, the revelation of Allah, which is the Holy Quran, the final book, which is Nasikh, invalidating for all the previous revelations of Allah. And so we go to the Holy Quran, and the Hujjiyat of Quran is Hujjiyatun Zatiyya. So it's doesn't require, its authenticity doesn't depend on anything else. It depends on its own self. That's the beauty of Quran. So because the Quran itself is a miracle. The reason why it has hujjiyatun zatiyya, that means its credibility and authenticity depends on nothing else but its own self, because it itself is a miracle. Because no human or no jinn and none of them combined can bring any surah similar to that. So when the hujjiyat is and credibility is depends on its own self, so Quran is the criteria to find out who is on haq. And likewise, the second thing to find out who is on haq is the al-aql as-saleem, that means the pure and untainted intellect of the human. This is how we will discover that what is the right thing to do and what is not the right thing to do. Now the last point among the khasa'is is what is mentioned by Zamakhshari. Zamakhshari was one of the famous mufassireen of the Sunni brothers. And he had one of his legs broken. Zamakhshari was a very big scholar and a mufassir. And one of his legs got broken, and somebody asked him, what happened? How was your leg broken? And he said, that's because of the curse of my mother. Because when I was young, we had a birdie in our house, and I was trying to put my hand and grab the bird from the cage or the hole, whatever, and the bird was running away. So there was a rope tied to the leg. So what I did is I tried to pull the rope towards me so I can grab the bird. The bird didn't want to come, so what I was pulling and pulling and pulling, and until the bird was close to the hole, obviously it was tight, so bird cannot come out. So I was pulling and the leg of the bird came out. And so basically he damaged the leg, he broke the leg, he took the leg off. So my mother saw that and she said, may Allah break your leg the way you broke the leg of this bird. And obviously in our religion Islam, we know that the curse of the father and mother is very, very serious thing, isn't it right? So the same happened, he says in his own mention of his biography, that I was then traveling to a travel, and I riding his animal, and I fell down and I broke my leg in that travel. So obviously this is something which I just recalled when I talked, mentioned Zamakhshari. So Zamakhshari has mentioned that these huruf al-muqatta'at, which are 14, it's a nice point that he has mentioned, so it's worth mentioning. So he says that these 14 huruf, if you drop the repetitive huruf, which a total is 29. So 29 is the total count of the Arabic alphabets. The alphabets of Arabic language are 29 according to some hisab and counts, and some other scholars of Arabic grammar say it is 29. Isn't that right? So the controversy is about Hamza, whether Hamza should be counted as a separate alphabet of the Arabic language or Hamza should not be counted as a separate alphabet. So those who count Hamza as a separate alphabet, they total it to be 29, and those who do not count it, they say the alphabets are 28. So basically 14 is the half of the total. So he says all these 14, which are by dropping the 20, the repetitive huruf al-muqatta'at, these 14 non-repetitive huruf al-muqatta'at, in are each of those letters designate, these letters are nisf and half of the ajnasul huruf. So alphabets of the Arabic language have certain sifat, which we learn in ilm al-tajweed. For those who learn the higher levels of ilm al-tajweed, they learn all those things. So which of the huruf are munfatiha and musta'liya and have rikhwa or shadida or majhura or mahmusa, isn't it right? Or munkhafida. So in khifad and hams and itbaq and shiddat and rikhwat, and you know, so these are all the sifat and attributes of the huruf that we, and qalqala, for example, these are all the sifat of the huruf that we learn in ilm al-tajweed. Now, these sifat of the huruf apply on certain alphabets only, not all the alphabets. And those certain alphabets where these sifat are applying, you make the half of those alphabets and you find half ones are found in the huruf al-muqatta'at. So the 14 huruf al-muqatta'at comprise of half of the letters of the total amount of letters upon which the ajnasul huruf and the sifat of the huruf in ilm al-tajweed are applying. Half of that amount is found in the huruf al-muqatta'at. For example, let me give you one example of that. So the huruf al-mahmusa, for example, which have the sifatul hams in that, half of those are Saad and Lam, Saad and Kaf, and Ha and Seen and Ha. Because Hurufun Mahmusa are actually 10, so the half of those are 5, and the 5 are found in Hurufun Muqatta'at, for example, which is Saad and Kaf and Ha and Seen and Ha. So this is how we find that the Ajnasul Huruf are the total number of the letters, half of those are available inside the huruf al-muqatta'at. But these things are again some things not found in the I haven't read any hadith about that, isn't it right? So that's not there in the Holy Quran, Zahiran. So what we find, this is less like munasabatun zakaruha ba'd al-wuku. This is like those things which people have mentioned after the munasabat, that they have mentioned after that it has happened. So just like if you enter into a palace and then you start thinking on your own, well, this door was made so that, you know, that serves as the main entrance door, and most, it's so wide so more people can enter at the same time, for example. So whatever be the main reason of the person who constructed it, but you are trying to describe according to the best of your understandings and takes about what has already happened by somebody, did it according to his own wisdom and his own reasonings, and you are trying to now describe it. So this is according to that. So inshallah, in the next lesson we will start the 20 of the Aqwal. Like I said in the beginning, we have 20 famous Aqwal in the tafsir of Huruf al-Muqatta'at, and there are basically 20 different tafasir. Let me say it like this, there are 20 tafasir, and we will start mentioning those 20 one by one to you. So then obviously we will at the end learn what is the correct tafsir and which of those 20 tafasir are incorrect and unacceptable according to our scholars of tafsir. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Ya Allah, 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 ya Allah. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wal-Muslimin, wa-khdul al-Kuffara wal-Munafiqin. Allahumma ansur man nasar al-Din, wa-khdul man khadal al-Muslimin. Allahumma ansur wa-hfad wa-ayyid ulama'ana al-Rabbaniyin wa-maraji'ana al-Rabbaniyin. لا سيما الولي الفقيه قاعد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. Let's start.